this could work. If Leo can get rid of everything he owns, I could probably move in here. Yeah. Yeah, that'll work. I'll move the table. I'll set up a little living room area over there. God, I wonder what New Mexico is like. They should have brought me with them. Bench was a dick. I could probably hang a plant over there. Susan is allergic to ferns, so can't do that. I could probably install a mirror. God, New Mexico. Why New Mexico? What about New Mexico? You know what? I'll just have to ask whenever they get back. Yeah, I could probably fit a two-seater over there. All right. So light bulb just went out.
I swear my wallet is in here somewhere. Grant.
What? Oh, Grant. My God. Leo.
Hey, have you seen my wallet anywhere?
I think it's over in the box of the things that I'm going to throw away. What are you doing back? You didn't text, you didn't call?
Yeah, I mean, I was gone for like 3 days. We're not like in a relationship. I don't need to keep tabs with you.
Hey,
we're coworkers.
I need a cold one. Is there a cold one in here somewhere?
There's some bodies there should be in the mini fridge. But also, hang on. You found my wallet. And you put it in the bin of things you were going to throw away?
Yeah. In the last couple of days, I've decided to pull a Bordeaux, if you will, and I'm moving in. And I needed to clear some space. You don't mind.
What are you talking about? This is
a set.
No, I definitely mind. It's my wallet. You have my phone number. You could have contacted me at any time. I've been looking for it. We got all the way to
What were you pulled over?
Yes, I was pulled over in Nebraska with no wallet. I had to scramble and kind of forge an ID as fast as I could. And
well, it,
that explains the mustache.
It did also help when I smashed the guy's face in.
Yeah, the ID didn't work at all.
I feel like that worked more than the ID. But hey, it's okay. Mexico was great, Grant. Really great.
You were in Mexico?
Well, we were in a pretty new part of Mexico.
Yeah, it was very new. All condos.
I think when we left, I was under the impression that we were going to New Mexico. But Mexico had just annexed a part of Southern California that we thought we'd check out. So we went there as well.
Yeah. Did you bring me anything? Like, I don't know. You know I collect trinkets and tchotchkes.
Well, I've seen your backpack.
We would have, but we honestly didn't think of you once. Otherwise, we totally would.
That's not true. That's not true. We did.
Really?
Remember we saw that ugly guy?
Oh, yeah. He was just... Oh, dang.
I do have a cousin out there. Were you in Oklahoma?
No. Were we in Oklahoma? We might have been
in
Oklahoma.
I thought we were in Mexico.
It wasn't really on the way, but we swung by for some barbecue.
They have the best Oklahomans.
Oklahoma best, barbecue.
Best barbecue. I'm glad we can all agree on that.
Mm. To be fair, anywhere where there's white people with farms, there's pretty good barbecue.
Amen to that, brother.
Hey, Dorsch, how's the barbecue in the home country?
Well, it's pretty good. You don't know what animal you're getting, but sauce is good. Little bit more tomato. It's more beets and less tomatoes.
Would more you sugar? Consider what you cooked for me barbecue? We had the same meal all three nights.
Yeah, that falls within the barbecue spectrum. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because I feel like it was a bit fish forward to be a barbecue.
Well, there was fish. And only fish. And there wasn't the grill.
Normally a barbecue is like there's some sort of seasoning or sauce or even a vegetable.
Well...
And usually barbecue is well, I'll just say barbecued.
Listen, it's a cultural thing. Let's not get in the weeds.
Yes, okay. I just asked because it was, if anything, more of a paella than a barbecue. But I digress. Grant, we did think about you. We saw the ugly man in Oklahoma, and we stopped for lunch for barbecue. And we're glad to be back. You see,
Well, I'm glad to have you back. I've had to make all the costumes and disarm a few explosives these last couple days. And you think I know what I'm doing when it comes to that stuff? That's all you.
Well, the bomb.
I mean, explosives can't be that difficult, but the costumes
didn't go off. So
you missed a 3-day performance piece. It wasn't a movie. It was a pop up performance piece by the local college.
Are we still doing those?
They don't pay.
No, but it was a, you know, Jeff the craft service guy.
Jeff.
Jeff the chef, his niece goes to Malcolm U, and they needed a place to perform. So Jeff pulled some strings. We should get Jeff on someday. Anyway, I think that we should probably start this, at least officially. So the cast...
Wait, are you recording this?
I thought we were just saying how we're like 3 hours late past the normal start.
Oh, I've recorded the last 3 days waiting for you guys to...
And
so
it's Thursday.
I have a whole... What?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I have 3 days worth of B-roll.
Grant, so. Did you ever end up talking to that psychiatrist I recommended? Or
We had a great night.
Oh.
Explain.
Oh no!
Tell more, please. Tell me more.
Oh no!
The address you gave me last week. Yeah, I showed up 2 days ago with a bucket of fried chicken and my great grandmother's brooch. And what?
A brooch is just a wider brooch. Just twice as wide, or it's a brooch of a cow. Cut the first one.
I showed up with a bucket of fried chicken and my grandmother's brooch, and I said to her, Dr. Mattis, I was referred to you by Leopold Bordeaux, and before I could even finish your last name, she broke out into a huge smile, invited me in, and we just chatted the night away.
Did you talk about Janet?
I didn't want to talk about another woman in front of another woman.
But chicken reminds you of her. We know that.
And Grant, did you... When you gave, at the end of the night, did she give you perhaps a slip of paper with her signature on it, among other things?
Yes, she gave me her number.
And maybe a recommended dosage?
Yeah, she gave me a prescription for dexmethylphenidate, which I believe is an antidepressant. 300 milligrams, and I googled it, and 200 milligrams is the most you can take without serious side effects.
Yes, she mostly treats horses. I found her when I was putting all of my horses down.
Oh yes, that's
back
right.
in I don't know if that's canon or not, but...
Well, it isn't. Of course it is. You, Dorsch, Leo's talked about his horses a lot, right?
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, Dorsch. I imagine 3 days on the... 3 days on the road with him, that's all he could talk about, right?
Actually, well, anyway, he's... Well...
I have diverse interests.
He killed a lot of other animals, I'll just say.
Okay, but most of... that's because I have a very tall car. And I can't always see what's below me.
Well, the cast has gone home. The crew's in control. Welcome to Cruise Control. This is the podcast where myself, Grant Lincoln, and co-hosts, there were three, now there are two, we dive deep into the world behind the scenes, behind the camera, behind the curtain of film and television and anything that could be produced for future generations to explore the past and for us to get famous and make lots of money.
Writing this down really helped.
Thank you. It was not the first draft, I'll tell you that.
Probably didn't have to do it on your belly, though. It's right under the mug.
That is a placeholder for my furniture coming in. So I can't use that.
Wait, you have more furniture coming in?
Yeah. So I sold all my furniture, and I went on Craigslist, and I just went into the free for pickup section, and I picked up a couple old pinball machines, a sewing station. A chaise lounge.
This is and sounding like a strange midlife crisis.
What? No.
Grant, are you 40?
I'm 32. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, you don't look it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you look very young.
Oh, thanks.
You look probably late 20s. I wouldn't have guessed 30, but you do have sort of a wizened look to your hair.
Yes, my hair?
Yeah, your hair.
All right. Well, when my mirror comes in, I'll have to take a look. So we did the 3-day pop-up performance piece with Chef Jeff's niece. I had to do all the costumes, all the explosives, and all the props.
What kind of explosives were these college kids using?
Mostly C4 and some...
Sorry, I asked the wrong question. Why were they using these explosives? The make and model of the explosive.
Sure. They were doing an
avant-garde... Real quick, what was the brand of the C4? I want to make sure I use the good stuff.
I think it was cerulean.
Mm, that's the cheap stuff. Okay, go on to the why.
They were doing a very avant-garde performance of Uptown Girl by Billy Joel, and they needed...
The song?
Is this the one where the shoes explode? I think yes. I heard about this.
Yes. They do some seriously dangerous dance moves. So that's where the costumes and the explosives came in together. And the props were the limbs that were flying from hidden boxes under the stage. We built a whole stage too.
This is upsetting. We would have been collaborators on a project with exploding shoes.
I know.
I know. We missed the first 2 days we've both missed in years.
Yeah, and the big boss, the higher ups were fine with it. You know, they said, "Grant, if this was you, you'd be fired." But Dorsch and Leo, nah, they've got tenure. But this next, you know, enough of the past and enough of the could have beens. I looked at the billboard this morning, and there was a new call sheet.
All right.
Yes.
I climbed up, in the middle of the night, and took down a copy.
You guys, that's one of those things where I just wonder who benefits from that, you know? It just seems so dumb that it's, you know, who wants that?
I don't know, but it works. It's a lot easier to notice a billboard than it is a bulletin board, I'll tell you that.
So yeah, I went up into the billboard, I grabbed a call sheet, and the biggest word on it, one fist too many.
That's multiple words.
You know the franchise, though. One fist too many. The word fist is in bold, and it looks like a fist coming at you through the paper.
Forgive me, Grant. I don't read the call sheets ever. But does the biggest word mean it's the project we're working on?
You know, I've never actually thought about that, but that's how it's turned out to be the last.
So yes.
Yes. I love that brand. I just realized that's the favorite brand of my hot dogs.
One fist too many?
Yeah, with the fist on it.
Dorsch, I don't think you're thinking of the right thing.
No, Dorsch, we're talking about a film.
Okay, let's blame it on cultures.
All right, I feel like we do that a lot these days, but sure. One fist too many. I never thought that Jamp, our production company, would ever get chosen to produce anything like this. And you know, much like every week, I was wrong when I said the cast is gone, the crew's in control. There was someone waiting outside, and it was Hank Mellon.
Hey boys, how's it going?
Wow. How long have you just been in here?
Whoa. Cool.
I didn't even see your feet touch the ground.
No, I've been in here the whole time. I just hang by the corner, sipping my drink. How's it going, boys?
What's in that styrofoam cup, Mr. Mellon? I'm a big fan, by the way. I love your scores and your sweeping. You should describe it. I'm not as... I'm just a little starstruck. I apologize.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Notes was the word you were looking for. Sweeping notes. And in the cup, it's fireball.
It is eating right through the styrofoam.
Yeah, well, that's a game I like to play. Gotta drink it fast, you know?
You're a real man. I like that one.
Whoa, no need to prove it. No need to prove it.
Well, okay, well then, all right.
Yeah,
you boys let me know if you want proof, and I'll take proof.
Well, I'd like to say that you don't necessarily need a penis to be a man, but I'm living proof of that. But I am in awe of
you. We've established you pee through your mouth.
What? It happens from time to time, but don't be
shy, Leo.
What? Well, it's not something. I don't do it every time, but
okay.
I have peed through my mouth, I should say.
Gotcha. Let's turn the focus back to Hank.
H&M.
Yeah. Oh,
Dorsch, I think you're thinking about something different.
You're thinking
again.
Of a different brand, Dorsch.
Really? All my brands are messed. I'm sorry.
No.
I definitely won't do that a third time.
He's actually not that far off. I almost I had a chance to buy H&M back in the late 90s.
Well... just please, for the listeners, if you wouldn't mind, and for me personally, talking about those early days, in the 90s when you were became the most sought after composer in all of film.
Before your big mental break, but I mean, we'll get there eventually.
Mm. Well, yeah, back in the late 90s, I was, scoring music for, you know, your westerns, your sci-fis, and all that. I guess even back, if you want to go a little bit, take it one step further, I myself, you know, being a Texas boy, grew up playing honky-tonks. You know, so that's where I kind of got my musical grounding. And Yeah, did that for about 10 years, played the circuit, and then, I just kind of transitioned on to musical composition for films.
What a life.
Any questions?
Maybe Hank, you should put down one of those cigars and we just talk.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, come on. This is a boys' night, right? The boys getting together.
That's no, please. No, we do not need proof. No proof.
So what was your favorite film that you have made music for?
My favorite film, it was probably my first film because it was a nice learning experience. And that was, of course, The Gun Goes Boom.
Mm.
And
Sexual Awakening for myself, actually.
I've heard that from a lot of people, which is unusual. You know, a war film, you usually shouldn't invoke those type of emotions. But I mean, hey, we just make it. However it gets interpreted, that's for the fans, right?
That's interesting because your I think it came out right around the same time. Your other film, Guns for Everyone, made me realize how disgusting and upsetting I found sex to be.
Yeah. The whole Guns series was very peculiar how it was received. A lot of people cite a lot of sexual undertones. Was it the scene where a man loads a shotgun manually for an hour? Who's to say?
It shouldn't have seemed nearly as sexual as it was, considering the guy fumbled around with the gun for an hour,
taking an hour
to do what should have been a 3-second task.
For me personally, I think it was the cheerful and, you know, like naivete of this guy just not knowing what he was doing. That really, you know, that spoke to me.
I liked when it went boom.
And that's the fan. That's what we make the movies for. That guy.
Yeah, I really like that.
Not saying you two are wrong. But that's why we make them.
I do wish that there was a second boom in it, but one's enough sometimes.
That does remind me of. Sorry, you had a GQ interview where you said you quote hate art.
Yeah, I said that. You want me to say it again?
No, I would like. How does someone who hates art get into this kind of work?
Because I don't make art. Fella.
He's the original bad boy of symphony. Come on.
He's the John McEnroe of the pit. Yes, I read the GQ article.
I've read it.
No, Dorsch, you go. Yeah.
I just want to, look, we all know you're a man, right? So, but when you yelled in that woman's face and spit at her at your concert, really, really spoke to me, inspired me as a kid. So I wanted to know, what did she say to you that invoked?
All right. Well,
please. Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, I should probably clarify. At the time of the incident, I was under the impression this was a man. I thought it was my landlord coming up to collect my rent. Now,
on stage, mid-concert,
which disagree with me if you want, but that is very unprofessional. Am I wrong?
Extremely.
Had it been your landlord, I think you would have been totally justified in spitting in his face.
So you can see why now. I did what I did. I felt the whole time that I was in the right place.
Now, was that similar when you punched that small child in the throat at What's the Madison Square Garden? That one was right. Was that landlord confusion too?
So that one, I thought it was the landlord's son that they had kind of sent the son after me, since I knew or had an idea of what they looked like, that they would send their child. Was I wrong? Yes. Did I do time? Yes.
And man. And the wedding you interrupted?
So my landlord's daughter is marrying a man who I do not think is right for her. I'm just going to say it publicly.
And
Sandra, if you're listening, Ken is not for you.
What about last year's Kentucky Derby and the horse you put down?
Oh, that one? That horse owed me money.
No, I owed you money. I'm the one who pays for my horse's gambling debts.
Now, what's your deal, boy?
Sorry?
Whoa, this is the first time a guest has turned the conversation
around.
Well,
no one puts down my horses but me.
Leo. Leo, stop. Leo, don't take your gloves off. Stop it.
I'm sorry.
Leave the white gloves on.
I can't. My hands start to sweat when I get angry, and I don't want to ruin these satin gloves. But yes, I canonically put down a lot of horses. And I like to do it myself. I don't like to do it, but if I have to do it, I do it myself. And so for you to put down my horse without asking my permission first.
Congratulations on a horse going to the Kentucky Derby, by the way.
It happens every year. I don't know what's so special about it, but I found that, it really rubbed me the wrong way, but I am such a big fan of your work that, I let it slide and I genuinely kind of forgot about it until just this moment.
Great.
Well, sir.
I know. I want to learn about One Fist Too Many.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say, okay. what is the musical, like, what carries this movie? What about it?
Well, I'm sorry. First of all, can I sit down? I feel like y'all are sitting.
Yeah, you can have my chair. Yeah, I don't use furniture anymore.
Okay, great. Leo, you can take mine.
Oh, yeah, this is nice.
Okay,
is
well, then we're all going to be standing because I don't do chairs anymore.
Okay, then
hey,
I will.
You can face us, too. It's better if you face us in the chair.
Oh, you caught me.
Yeah, if you want to...
You boys are quick, you caught me.
If you want to take off your full face-covering mask and... looks like you're wearing a one-piece onesie. You don't have to be so covered up.
You know, sometimes you put something on and it just fits and you get in the right mood. I've been wearing this mood since 1986.
That was the year you did the Hunchback's hustle.
Wow. You do your homework. Wow. Yeah.
When I see the big word on the call sheet, I go down a steep wormhole in Wikipedia.
So, like, when you see the title of the movie, you type that title in the Wikipedia?
Yep.
Sounds crazy. Anyway, let's talk about the film. So when I was going into composing One Fist Too Many, of course, you know, the whole Fist series are iconic.
Mm-hmm.
So... there was a lot riding on it. And when I went in, I was doing this thing where I was going to a lot of public places at night and just sort of sitting around and picking up the vibe that people were putting down. And
Nude or not nude?
Not nude.
Okay,
no,
thank you.
No. I tried nude before, back for... the gun goes boom, and then the gun gets set down, and it didn't work that well. So I went fully covered this time, and you know, get a vibe for the streets at night.
So, how does that translate into composition? Like, okay, give us a taste of what that music sounds like.
Okay.
Feel free to pick up that guitar or the tambourine over there, you know, or just a cappella. It's up to you.
Right. So it would ideally go something.
My tambourine.
Yeah, it would go something kind of like this, like a. You know, like something like that.
Okay, like an energetic.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What's just that repeating? You get some minor chords in there.
Can you tell me some of the chords that you use in this piece?
Oh, absolutely. So I'm using a D minor. I'm using an A minor. Mm. And then after the A minor, I'm going back to the D minor. Mm. Now, after the D minor, I throw in an A minor.
Da-da.
Now, when the A minor is finished, I'll then jump back down to the D minor.
Da-da.
To which then I'll go up one to the A minor.
Da-da-da.
Yeah.
I have a question. What was the most frustrating project for you to work on? Because you've had a lot of, obviously, public freakouts and on-stage freakouts and behind-the-scenes blow-ups with directors and crew members who get in your eyeline when you're on.
Right.
Yeah, you are famous for needing to be able to look straight ahead. And if anyone gets between your eyes and their destination.
Well, yeah. Because, I mean, so I don't, you know, sidebar, because that's what when you go out in the real world and you're seeing people, you're seeing them, you're facing them eye on, so why wouldn't that also apply to in a movie? Anyway, I digress. The movie where I butt heads the most had to be King Kong Goes to Chicago.
That was you?
That was me.
I had no idea.
I wasn't on the project long. Okay. So basically what happened is that the director kept wanting me to play the Cubs theme.
The Chicago Cubs?
The Chicago Cubs. He wanted me to play their theme. And I was like, first off, I was like, what is their theme?
Yeah.
You're asking what is the wrong room of guys.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you knew something I didn't.
Chicago. You've got a costume designer, a grip, and a prop master, and a explosives expert from a foreign land.
Fair enough.
That last one's Dorsch, if you didn't pick up on that.
No, I saw his name on the call sheet. You can't miss it. It's just one name.
Oh, you went up to the billboard?
Yeah, I went up.
See? It's not just me, Leo.
I just think that having the Herb Toyota up on the billboard is a bit much. It makes it a little bit difficult. So your most frustrating project was what did you say?
King Kong Goes to Chicago.
Right. And your public, I mean your public freak out there was, as we all know, recorded and captured on.
I think we have a clip of it, actually.
I don't want to watch Hank stab that monkey to death again.
I haven't loaded up.
Monkey, funny, but it was your intent was to kill.
So.
I'll hit play if enough, you want me to.
I thought it was my landlord dressed up as a gorilla.
You know what? I'm hitting play.
Excuse me, sir. Just need to get to.
Okay. We'll just walk on by.
My costume fitting. Yeah. No.
Walk on by. I guess our shoulders hit. Okay.
I'm so sorry, sir. It's a big ape suit. And I need to get the helmet adjusted.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'd like an adjustment too. A monthly adjustment.
I'm sorry?
Perry, what the fuck are you doing in that suit? Get out of there. Why you come down here to my place of work? Ask me for my rent money. I'll get it to you.
I think you're thinking I'm someone else, sir. I've never...
Get the fuck out of here. Perry, get in my face.
Hey, can we get the composer composing?
Yeah, I'll be right there, Perry. Get the fuck in my face right now, unless you want to eat knife.
My name is Brian.
Perry, I don't give a shit what your name is.
Brian, get to your place.
I'll be right there. I'm sorry. The helmet just keeps slipping, so they want me to...
Jesus Christ, someone secure the helmet.
I'll secure it with this knife. Stab.
Oh, and that was close to my face. Right.
Oh. Wow. It gets me every time.
But do you blame me? After watching the clip, do you blame me?
For that one, kind of.
If there was an audio... Maybe not, but
yeah,
the audio kind of
the boom guy was right there the whole time,
kind of laid it all out. How'd you not go to jail? What, like,
you don't do the rounds in Texas and not pick up a few connections along the way, you know?
How does a Texan boy, again, no need to prove that, become a composer? You know, you think of Texas and you think...
Specifically a Texan who hates art.
Yeah. You think of an art-hating Texan and you think of a politician or a mathematician or something like that. Where does...
I don't know that I associate Texas with mathematicians.
Every mathematician I've ever...
Oh, do you know Carl?
Me?
Yeah, you know Carl, the mathematician? Carl,
yeah, the Mathematexan. Yeah, Mathematex. His YouTube handle, Mathematexan. I watch his videos daily.
He's good.
Do you mean Karlsch?
No,
sorry,
Karlsch.
I'm sorry, culture. No.
Well, so I get that a lot. Why someone who's a musical composer and they are most known for hating art. And here's what I tell them. I don't make art. I make music. Now, some people say music is art, not mine. Let me break it down. A lot of people, when they're doing art, they think of it as a free flowing form, right? And whatever comes out of the business end, well, that's art. But for me, for our old Hank Mellon, if you listen to my songs closely, they're exactly the same. It's a verse. It's a chorus, it's a verse, and then it's out. So I don't consider it art, because...
You've kind of described songs.
I do one kind of song.
And it's verse, chorus, verse?
Verse, out. So my argument is, if it's the same structure, it's not art. It's just the product that I produce.
Wow. I think maybe... saying that something isn't art is maybe the most artistic statement a person can make.
Mm. Like, this podcast is not art.
Well, yeah.
That's definitely true.
Hey, Grant.
Yes.
Mind if I talk to you over here for a second?
Sure, what's up? Is this about Carl?
All right, so you gotta get to me straight. Is that Perry over there? You'd tell me about Perry, right?
Leo? Oh, of course. No, that is... I haven't seen him in 3 days, so he could have done anything in the last 3 days. He could have changed his identity. But as far as I know, that man over there is Leopold Bordeaux. I don't know much about his past.
You don't know if he's been a landlord or anything? Or
I've never asked. It could very well be he was once a man named Perry who collected rent. But I don't know.
Hey, Dorsch, can I talk to you for a second over here?
Yeah, sure, Leo. What's up?
Dorsch, I think Grant might be losing his mind. I'm getting really worried about him. It's not even in like a fun way, like he's like crazy and throws caution to the wind. I think he's like peeing in jars crazy. And it's starting to freak me out. I think he thinks we've been gone way longer than we have been. Because again, it was just a long weekend we took. We've missed only one day of work. We left on a Friday. And I feel like he thinks we've been gone for like 2 years, like a lifetime's worth.
Well, Hank, You've got to, Hank, you've got to tell me, do you see Janet over there?
I see through the window.
Do you see Janet out the window?
I can tell by the way that Grant is gesturing and making like an hourglass figure. He's talking about Janet again, which again is a really weird, like, upsetting thing to do about a person. But
I'm kind of more concerned that Hank is just staring you down, and he's grasping his melons.
He's grasping his melons?
Yeah. He's not.
I don't see Janet. Of course, I don't know what Janet would look like. Never met a Janet. I see one sexy ass looking mop.
Oh, that's where that went. Oh, I must have moved that when I was trying to figure out where to put the new chaise lounge.
All right, Dorsh, but anyway, hey, Dorsh,
am I crazy, or does that mop kind of look sexy? Like, I'm not really a sexual being, but there's something about that mop. It's got like a, you know, when you see like an animated character that's not human and you're like, oh, okay, I get it.
I like the mop's hair.
Well, that's... Grant, I'm going to go sit back down.
All right, I'll join you.
Before anyone takes my seat.
Sure.
Oh, welcome back, Hank.
Hey guys, we were just talking. Just
So are we.
All right. Weird question, guys. Have you ever actually taken a look at that mop?
No way. We were just talking about this.
Okay, I'm very glad it's not me, and I'm not going crazy about this, at least, because that is one damn fine mop.
If I hadn't been The Sun Also Rises, I'd have sex with that mop.
Hey.
And Dorsh likes its hair.
I'm very jealous during the day when I see the janitor get to grab it.
The janitor
turn it
gets
upside
the
down
best.
And soak it. Oh.
Keep going.
No.
I think we should stop hiring sex offenders as janitors, though, just based on the sexiness of our mops here.
That's probably a good idea. Just as a ground rule.
I rode a blimp once. You guys want to ask about that?
Nothing more. There's nothing more I'd want to ask. What's riding a blimp like, Hank? That's what you said, right?
That's what I said. All time. All
were
time.
Were you like
top.
in the air balloon type thing, or were you on top of a blimp? Were
riding it like a bull, mechanical bull?
It's a big old balloon, and then down below there's like a little like casing.
Nope, we know what a blimp is.
Okay, well, you asked me if I rode it like a horse. So
yeah, I actually don't. We don't have blimps in.
Do you have shblimps?
No, we have blimps.
of course.
Well, that's a
that
type
one.
Of you know sandwich.
I'll take that one. That one's on me.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it was great, Hank.
It was awesome. All time, the whole time.
So what is the plot of One Fist Too Many?
The plot of One Fist Too Many.
As a composer, I'm sure you have this correct. Is crucial information.
A drifter comes into town.
Mm-hmm. This is played by
Gosling. Ryan
okay.
Gosling.
Ryan Gosling.
Drifter rolls into town, and the one thing that. You don't really know right away about him, but you kind of find out through details that he's real keen on pinball, you know. So he goes to the arcades and kind of hustles a few people in some pinball games, and then after he's done with that, he goes down to a Pacific Cafe, which is a Chinese restaurant. and he kind of hangs out there for a while, sipping Mai Tais, you know. And then he gets, and then someone else comes in who he knows.
So are we just doing every scene from the movie?
I thought what I read online, when I thought it was pretty interesting, is that I read that for this, this was the first film where they based the story off of the music.
So right.
The music was written first. And then
you like the Who's Tommy?
Extracted story.
I don't know who Tommy is, but you're exactly right. So I wrote the music first, and then the movie was kind of modeled around that. And if you listen to my any of my compositions, I'm sure you can hear there's a big pinball theme in there. Mm-hmm. And there's a big Chinese restaurant theme in there. You know, so it's kind of hard to not see those.
May I ask, is verse one the pinball verse and verse two the Chinese restaurant verse?
And would the chorus then be a mix of both?
Or right. is the chorus when you meet your friend?
Okay, so...
You know what, why don't you just tell us the lyrics?
Okay. Sure, I have them right here.
The score to the film has lyrics?
He's going to read us the chords.
This is highly unorthodox.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, do you want the chords, the notes, and the lyrics?
Well, you said all your chords are the same, so I think we already know it's da-da-da-da. So, why don't you go with the lyrics?
Okay. I'm coming inside this town at night. I got 16 quarters, gonna play pinball, all right? Sunk my quarters, shot my balls. Now it's time to get some Chinese food so I can go to the wall. 1 Mai Tai, please.
I can only imagine if there was music behind it, too. I would be crying right now.
How haunting it would be.
Oh, was that... That was it?
It ends with 1 Mai Tai, please.
I don't want to ruin the movie.
No, exactly. No, of course.
It's that...
And plus, I can't give the whole song away on this podcast. I mean, you know, licensing and everything.
Of course,
that's true.
Of course.
We only have a couple seconds of it before we get
taken
down.
It sounds as if One Fist Too Many is a haunting sort of harrowing delve into the psyche of a man with deep-seated addictions to pinball, alcohol, and MSG. So, what sort of challenges do you find in representing that lyrically as well as you did? How did you get into that sort of headspace to be able to create lyrics like that?
Hanging out at a lot of malls. Really, really getting the mall culture in.
I love the mall.
Yeah.
Just drinking it in is profoundly spirit crushing in the most beautiful way.
I go down there every Saturday for about 3 months, and I'd get a big styrofoam container of just shiny, gross fried rice and some sloppy chicken, and I'd go down to the arcade, and kids would call me losers,
And that's when you had one of your famous freakouts.
Well,
when
those
children called you a loser in the arcade.
It said in the GQ article that you lost the claw machine 27 times in a row.
The claw machine that says keep playing until you win, so you had to continue playing, and you were there for hours.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you guys know that story, so...
Can I? No, we just know the GQ article. We don't know the specifics of it, or we don't know the why or what you said. We just know that the kid left crying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that kid ended up being John Cena.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a big part of the article. Was how this buff kid left the arcade crying because an adult composer with a bunch of Chinese food cussed him up and down.
Never had any respect for Cena.
Do you believe that he is a landlord, perhaps? Is that part of... Did that ever enter the equation?
A what?
A landlord, like Perry?
Oh, okay. Like a
lord
Perry.
Of the land. A property a owner.
Yeah, for a second I reckon he might be a Perry.
A Perry, you said?
Yeah, my landlord Perry.
Yeah, okay, I thought you said fairy for a minute, and I was like, well, probably not okay to say, but also not probably a descriptor used for John Cena very often. Though he was a child at this point, so.
Yes, he was a kid, and he grew up to be the strongest man alive, so so if you feel bad for me now, I think it's kind of even. Next.
He cites you as the reason he got so jacked.
Well, did him a favor then.
Yeah, actually, I heard that WWE had you star in the pre-fight video. Like, they recreated the original scene.
Yeah, that was a tricky one, because they told me what they wanted to do, and I was like, you don't do that. Y'all don't have recreations of someone's past life as like an amp up video, but then they kind of told me the angle they're going with, and I said okay, but I'm still very confused.
That was weird. I mean, maybe Dorsch can speak to this more because his audition went so well. But with WWE, they did that one season where. In the pre-fight sketches they did, they had all the wrestlers re-experience past trauma.
Yeah, what sparked their wrestling career.
Dorsch, what did they make you do in your audition?
Well, in my audition, and I'm not part of the WWE, it's part of the WWC in where I'm from. But in my audition, I had to eat a basketball.
Not uncommon.
And that's
really hard.
And you did it and they still said no?
Yeah, apparently they actually said no before. And it was just some guy
saying... So it was like a prank?
Well, some guy said, eat a fucking basketball, loser. And... It did.
That was for the Basketball Jones story, right?
Yeah, I was really that hoping was your I'd character? Get that one. Really yeah, hoping I'd get it.
Yeah, they've started creating the characters for the wrestlers. They're not.
Yeah, you can't trust a wrestler to come up with a character on his own. You gotta kind of force feed him a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I learned that when I was religious, I auditioned for WWJD.
Okay.
And I suplexed two wrestlers that were dressed up as the Tower of Babel, and. It really hurt my back in a way that I've never. I mean, it's why my posture was so good that.
It's your origin story.
Yes. For the listeners who haven't been keeping up, I my posture was too good. So I've started to wear a reverse back brace to feel more like the common man. And I guess that's how it. That's the first instance in which I started. You know, really focusing on my posture was the recovery of my back after my WWJD audition.
How'd you do?
I got the part. I toured with them for 6 months after I went to a Christian college, and After those 6 months, it was the most partying I had ever done, and the most pain I had ever been in. And I realized there is no God. There is no God. If there is, he has forsaken us, and he looks down upon his spawn, his creation, with utter disgust and contempt. And
Leo. Your eyes were in your head. You're looking up.
Sorry. I just had a moment there. But yes, now I do costumes, and I can't wait to work on this new project with you. What can I expect to be working on costume wise, wardrobe wise?
And if you wouldn't mind tacking props into that list as well, I'm also curious.
But keep mine separate for sure.
All right, let me. Okay, so for costumes, you're gonna be dealing with a lot of flashy tees. You know, we're going to the arcade, playing some pinball. You're gonna be dealing with some kids, and kid fashion is, you know, all over the place. So you'll probably get a t-shirt with a big kind of like a big circle in it, and then like in text it'll just say "Eat it, pig." So that'll be one, and then you'll have one shirt that's all white, a little white hat, and they have a little name tag, and it says "Welcome to a Pacific Cafe" for the Chinese food part of it.
Gotcha. That I can do for sure.
Right. Props. You're gonna be working with a fully functional pinball machine.
Easy. I just, like I said earlier, I just purchased 3 pinball machines. So those are coming in. But please continue.
Claw machine. and then a plate of fried rice and a sloppy, shiny chicken.
So the budget must be huge.
Well, the budget is huge. As you can kind of tell, the props and the costume are really played down, but the action is where all that money is going, getting poured into.
So, I'm purely out of curiosity, how does a plate of food end up in the prop department?
You can't use real food, boy. It'll go bad. You gotta make it.
Yeah, we can't afford to order Chinese every day. I'm just curious, in what sort of attire should I dress this character, Sean Gina?
Yeah. Sean Gina is going to be wearing overalls with one of them undone, a spinny hat, and the spin is always going. And then he's going to have one of those prop guns that when you shoot it, a little white flag comes out and it says, this ain't a real gun, dummy.
Okay. Can do.
All right. Well, I'm sure I can take some artistic liberties therein to enhance the story beyond what you're giving me, but I'm very excited to work on this project. Is there anything else you'd like people to know about this project before we, you know, really start getting into the work?
Yeah, I spent about 14 years writing the song, so it's been a long time coming.
To be clear, there's only one song.
Yeah. What? Why? Yeah. Yes, there was only one song. It took me 14 years.
Yep.
Dorsh, you're saying you've never worked 14 years or any long amount of time on any one project?
I'm not saying anything and not trying to get into my past either. So,
Dorsh, how about basketball taste? I meant to ask. How did it taste when you ate it?
Surprisingly, like dry ribs. Like the outer coating of a dry rub ribs.
How exactly did you go at it? Did you like cut it open and deflate it, or did you just go at it like a snake?
Did you debone it first?
Well, for the first 2 to 3 hours, I tried licking around the outside, but it didn't work. It was a leather ball, real leather. Then I had to cut and tear and chew.
So this, there was a leather ball and a basketball?
No. The basketball, it was a leather basketball.
That doesn't seem very practical.
You can't have a real basketball on set. It'll go bad. You need to get a leather one. That's probably all they had on hand.
Yeah, all right. So I think that we're, you know, we've been speaking to you for a long time, and
Grant, you know. I kind of got to hit the road. I haven't peed since I've obviously, because, you know, of my condition, I'm a little sensitive about it. I haven't peed in 3 days, so I only pee in my own bathroom.
Of course.
Which is what's nice kind of about being your own landlord, is that nobody comes and checks on your bathroom.
What did you just say?
I just
Leo,
said...
Leo, you never told me your middle name.
What?
You never... I asked you 4 days ago what your middle name was, and you never told me.
Do you want my middle name or my confirmation name?
You know what? Confirmation.
Confirmation name? I'm named after Saint Parisius, who was the patron saint of property owners.
Oh, I know who that son of a bitch was.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. I'm just saying that you know, ever since I purchased my loft, have been, again, it's very nice being your own landlord, in that no, there's no regulations, nothing governing you. It's just absolute freedom to do whatever you like with the space. So I should probably get going in a minute if I'm going to, you know, be home in time.
Sure.
My middle name, by the way, is Xavier.
Hey, Leopold, which way are you going?
Straight to my loft, which is
oh great, I think my place is on the way. Can I catch a ride?
It's a 45 minute Uber from here.
Oh great, can I catch a ride?
Sure, I don't see why not.
Fantastic.
Well, I'm sure you'll tell us all about this next week.
Absolutely.
Dorsh, do you have any closing remarks?
In this mall.
Yeah.
Is there a pretzel place called Uncle Arnie's?
Yes, of course. I want to make it feel like a real mall, so I do it.
So this is like an opposite mall situation.
Well,
it is a bizarro mall.
And the Chinese restaurant is Slow Koala.
Slow Koala. That's it. There are two stores so far. It's a small shot, so you need two to really fill it out.
If we must, we can think of more later.
Yeah, JC Quarter is probably in there.
Shower and personality works.
Toys aren't them.
The people store that looks kind of gross when you walk past it, but you go in, there's cute little critters.
Then there's Red Coat Candle.
Mm-hmm.
Or sorry, Red Coat Flashlight.
Confederate Candle.
Confederate Candle.
Brooks Sisters.
Stuff Forgotten.
Tupperware containers without the tops instead of lids. I'm going to get my Uber's here.
Okay, great. Our
All right.
Here.
Well, until next week, put yourself in break, and we will talk to you next. You'll hear. All right. I've got the break part down. I've got the break part down.
Polish seagull.
All right, we will be back next week.
Is this Uber for Uber for Leopold?
No, this is an Uber for Perry Leopold.
Okay, well, my name's not under Perry.
So I'm sorry. I had Christian name Uber up. Yeah, this is the Uber.
This is my Christ car.
this is your Christ car. The apps look very similar. We're still going strong. Christ car. We have rosary beads up front and
so holy just
water.
Like an Uber.
Yeah.
Hey, can I sit down this Uber now?
Oh, you got to guess. You did not indicate that, but I'm a God-loving man, so I'll let it slide. Hop on in, you two.
Great.
Okay, we're leaving now. Goodbye, guys.
Oh. Hey, we'll see you. See you next week, Leo Dorsch. I will see you next week, and I've already done the outro, so see ya.
I think I'm going to put a lamp there. Yeah. The table will go over there. Oh, oops.